Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 20. This chapter is entitled as Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. Natam, Nartakam, Gandharva, Suta, Magadha, Vandinaha, Kayanti, Chottama Shloka, Charitani, Adbhutani, Cha. Nata Nartaka Gandharva Suta Magadha Vandinaha Gayanti Chottama Shloka Charitannad Bhutani Cha Nata Nartaka Gandharva Magadha Vandinaha Gayanti Chottama Gayanti Chottama Shloka Charitanyad Bhutani Cha Nata Nartaka Gandharva Suta Magadha Vandinaha Gayanti Chottama Shloka Charitanyad Bhutani Cha
Nata Nartaka Gandharva Suta Magadha Vandina Gayanti Chottama Shloka
Nata, dramatists, Nartaka, dancers, Gandharva, celestial singers, Suta, professional historians, Magadha, professional genealogists, Bandinaha, professional learned speakers, Kayanti, chant, Cha, respectively, Uttamashloka, the Supreme Lord, Charitani, activities, Adbhutani, all superhuman, Cha, and translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions, being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on. Please repeat after me. Expert dramatists,
artists,
dancers,
singers,
historians,
genealogists,
and learned speakers, all gave their respective contributions. Being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, it appears that 5,000 years ago, the society also needed the services of the dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, public speakers, etc. Dancers, singers and dramatic artists mostly hail from the Sudra community, whereas the learned historians, genealogists and public speakers hailed from the Brahmana community. All of them belonged to a particular caste and they became so trained in their respective families. Such dramatists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists and public speakers would dwell on the subject of the Lord's superhuman activities in different ages and millenniums, and not in ordinary events, nor were they in chronological order. All the Puranas are historical facts described only in relation with the Supreme Lord in different ages and times, as well as on different planets also. Therefore, we do not find any chronological order. The modern historians therefore cannot catch up the link, and thus they unauthoritatively remark that the Puranas are all imaginary stories only. Even 100 years ago in India, all dramatic performances were centered around the superhuman activities of the Supreme Lord. The common people would be verily entertained by the performances of dramas and jatra parties played wonderfully on the superhuman activities of the Lord. And thus, even the illiterate agriculturist would be a participant in the knowledge of Vedic literature, despite a considerable lack of academic qualifications. Therefore, expert players in drama, dancers, singers, speakers, etc. are required for the spiritual enlightenment of the common man. The genealogist would give account completely of the descendants of a particular family. Even at the present moment, the guides in the pilgrimage sites in India submit a complete account of genealogical tables before a newcomer. This wonderful act sometimes attracts more customers to receive such important information. Nata Nartaka Gandharva Suta Magadha Vandina Gayanti Choktama Shloka Choritan Nadbhutanicha. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions, being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on. So, Krishna arrived in Dwarka, and how he was received by everyone is being described here. There are Sutas, Magadhas, Gandharva. Not a Nartaka, Gandharva. Sutamagadha Bandina. So these are various types of occupations that were people that were engaged, that people were engaged in those days. They were natas. Natas means the actors, the dramatists. Nartaka, dancers, and Gandharva, the singers. So they were the actors or dramatists performing dramas. They were dancers. They were singers, and then they were the sutras. Sutras are the professional historians. They have the complete understanding of what actually happened in a chronological order. Then Magadha, the people, those who kept the genealogical record, the family record, since the beginning of time, practically. Like when we see the Vedic culture, we can see that it is a very well recorded culture. Like there is the family lines going all the way back to the sages, the rishis, the prajapatis. We know, say for example, when Krishna was speaking in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was speaking about how this knowledge came, this knowledge of karma, the culture of karma yoga. Krishna gave a very clear description that he gave it to Vibhashwan, the sun god. Then sun god gave it to his son Manu. And Manu gave it to his son, Ikshaku. And in this way, this knowledge had been flowing. So we can see that it's not only that Krishna is speaking only about Manu and Ikshaku, but actually this record is there all the way. Like when we see Ramayana, we see the line of Lord Ramchandra, family line. Actually, Lord Ramchandra appeared in Ikshaku dynasty. As he is saying, Krishna is saying, Manu Ikshaku Veabravit. Manu gave it to his son Ikshaku. And from Ikshaku all the way down to Ramchandra, the family line is there. And this line is called Surya Vamsa, the sun dynasty. Why it is sun dynasty? Because sun god is the progenitor of this dynasty. Is anyone translating for those who are Hindi speaking? Aap log samajhte hain? Peeche jo baithe hain, aap nahi samajhte hain. Who can translate for them? Oh, then why doesn't he say that? I'm asking, is anyone translating? Oh no, he is doing it only for me. He is let Rajan do it. The genealogical descriptions are there. So from that we can see that these are all historical facts. These are not, Ramchandra is not a person from the fairy tales. Unfortunately, people, even in India, they have developed a misconception that it is, these are all the Vedic narrations, Vedic descriptions are just mythology, fairy tales, myth, stories. Actually, the problem is they don't study these subjects properly. And that's why, since they did not study this under the proper guidance, they do not have any understanding. They call it mythology. Why they call it mythology? Because when the Britishers came to India, they called it mythology. And being educated by these fools who at one time was ruling over India, the Englishmen, today's India is thinking that they are mythology, and as a result of that, they don't have any understanding. I want to speak of respect for their own culture. To them, how many Indians do they read Ramayana, Mahabharata? Hardly anyone reads. And because they don't read, and they do not read under the guidance, the guidance of a teacher, they do not have any understanding. That's why Srila Prabhupada actually came to give the clear understanding of the Vedic wisdom. And we are fortunate that because of Srila Prabhupada's arrangement, at least we have a clear understanding. And what is the clear understanding? The clear understanding that whatever has been mentioned in these Vedic literatures, they're real facts. They're factual. Not a single incident there is a story. They're all history. So what is the understanding? The understanding that whatever has happened has been recorded. Especially the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is recorded. Not only recorded, they're repeatedly sung, they're repeatedly enacted, they're repeatedly performed through dance dramas. And this way, the superhuman activities. Why Lord's activities? Because the Lord's activities are all superhuman activities and they are ideal activities. An ordinary human activity, no matter how powerful he is, no matter how famous he is, only human. They are just simple. Say for example, we see in Olympics, people lift, say, 300 kilos of somebody, a weightlifter, lifts 300 kilos and the whole world becomes stunned. Oh, he lifted 300 kilos. All the newspapers start to flash that news that such and such person, weightlifter, has lifted 300 kilos. Maybe, and he broke the world record. And what was the world record before? The world record before was 297 kilos. So he broke the record by lifting 3 kilos more. And the whole world is just gloating about it. Right. But when the Lord comes, what did He do? He lifted the whole mountain, Govardhan Hill. And not only He lifted it, He held it on His little finger for 7 days. Now these are the activities, the unusual activities of the Lord. Who can lift a mountain like that? Yes, sometimes some people can lift also, because say sometimes Ravana lifted the Kailash Parvat. He tried to lift, he just lifted a little bit. So we can see that even compared to Ravana, today's weightlifters are nobody. And Ravana lifted the hill, but then what happened? On top of Kailash was Lord Shiva and Parvati. So when he lifted the Kailash, it shook and Parvati became nervous. Oh, what happened? She was about to, so Lord Shiva, what he did, he just pressed the top of the mountain with his toe and it crashed Ravana's hand. Smashed Ravana's hand and Ravana was crying. And then he realized what happened. So he started to glorify Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Lord Shiva, Mahakaleshwar, is Ashutosh. He becomes pleased very quickly. So if somebody just glorifies him, he forgets. Vaishnavanam jathasam. All his anger subsided. And he became pleased with Ravan. And Ravan became a great devotee of Lord Shiva. But Krishna, when he lifted Govardhan, he lifted it on his little finger. Ravan was lifting Kailash with great effort, with both hands and all the strength, he lifted a little bit. But Krishna, when he lifted Govardhan Hill, he lifted it just with his little finger. He lifted it and then held it with his little finger, that also of the left hand. And left hand is the weaker hand. And then on top of his little finger, he held it, balanced it, and held it for 7 days. Therefore, we make a challenge. If somebody says he is a god, he is God. Nowadays, there are so many gods. Amuk Bhagavan, Tamuk Bhagavan, there are so many gods. Bhagavan this, Bhagavan that. Now, our challenge to them is, okay, if you are Bhagavan, then lift. You may not be able to lift. We don't want you even to lift Govardhan Hill. We don't want you to even lift a hill or a mountain. You just lift a little table and you won't have to hold it on for 7 days. Just balance it on your little finger for 7 minutes or even 7 seconds. Let's see. So if you can do it, then we will think that you are somebody. But if you can't, then shut up. That is our Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is all-powerful. Is all-powerful. And He is ekam eva aditya. He is one without a second. There is no one equal to Him and no one is superior to Him. That is the Supreme. That is the meaning of the word Supreme. Param, Ishwar. The supreme controller, the supreme proprietor. And no one is equal to him and no one is superior to him. So that supreme personality of Godhead, when he displays his activities are superhuman. His activities are so wonderful that everyone sings about those activities. And not only the Lord's activities are superhuman, His devotees' activities are also superhuman. Like we are speaking about the Olympic records. Now somebody jumps, 21 feet? He breaks the world record. Long jump. What is the world record in long jump? 21 feet. Somebody comes and jumps 21 feet 6 inches, he breaks the world record. And everybody starts to glorify him. But when Hanuman jumps, when Hanuman jumped, 3,000 Yojanas from the shore of India to Sri Lanka, across the ocean. So that is his first jump. What was his second jump? His second jump was all the way from Lanka to Himalaya, Gandhamadan Parvat. Actually, the first jump was from the shore of the ocean to Sri Lanka. The second jump was from Sri Lanka all the way to the northern part of India, to the Himalayas. And what his third jump was? His third jump was all the way from Himalaya to Sri Lanka with a mountain in his hand. He carried the mountain, Gandhamadan mountain, all the way from Himalaya to Sri Lanka. Now who will break these records? Only the Lord and His devotees can break such records. Now the question is, are these fairy tales? Are these stories? If they are stories, then why the saintly personalities who have nothing to do with this material nature would glorify these activities? The saintly personalities left everything. They left everything. They have no interest for anything material. Why will they be fascinated by these stories? Let us consider the fairy tales. We read so many fairy tales when we are young. And we are fascinated by them. When you are 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, we read so many fairy tales. Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales. In Bengali there was Thakur Mar Jhuli. And in this way there are so many fairy tales. But we were fascinated by them. But when you became 17, 18, did we have any interest for them? No. We did not have, we lost all interest for them. Because we knew that they are just some concocted stories. Then we became interested in some other kind of writings. Tarashankar Bandyopadhyay or Shakespeare or such mundane writings. We became interested in their writing. Rabindranath Tagore, Premchand, or we became interested in them. But then when we became a devotee, we lost interest in them. Because they all are, we know that they are just some fairy tale. They are some concocted novels, stories. Or maybe we can take one step. So when we are 15, 16, 17 years old, we are fascinated by these stories. But then we joined college, we took science. So now we are dealing with real, solid subject. So we don't have any interest for novels and poetry. So now we are interested in science, physics, chemistry, biology, botany, or even economics, or politics, or computer science. So, we don't have any more interest in that. But then we grew up a little more, then we realized that no, these are not also the interesting subject. They're dealing with something, but they don't really satisfy our heart. We want to know the real truth. So we became interested in philosophy, right? Philosophy, now we want to know what the world is, what everything is, like through philosophical understanding. But then also, then we come across Krishna consciousness movement. Then you come across Krishna consciousness movement. And when you come across Krishna consciousness movement, we got to know about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Upanishads, Puranas. And when you started to read them, then we lost interest even for philosophy. We realized philosophy is only mental speculation. We are fascinated by big, big philosophers. Schopenhauer, Nietzsche, Kant, Descartes. Big, big philosophers. And we thought, oh, we know so much. I can't speak of even Vedanta Sutra. So, but then we lose interest in all of that. Now we became interested in Krishna consciousness. So we can see that when a person takes to spiritual life, he actually has gone through the entire journey on the material platform. Now why these people who have rejected everything material will become fascinated by these stories? The stories of Ramayana, stories of Mahabharata, stories of Upanishads and Puranas. Why? Are they stories? No. They're histories. His story. Whose stories? The stories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're the real history. The activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pastime. When he came, he performed superhuman activities. Like, we can see that even though the Lord is performing his pastimes as a cowherd boy, what he is doing? Even as a little cowherd boy, his activities are so wonderful. Like he is playing with his friends, then all of a sudden a demon comes. And the demon is terrible looking, huge. Huge means his head is practically touching the clouds. The huge body. He is coming to kill Krishna. And seeing that terrible form, you can well imagine, if you all of a sudden, while you are playing in the field, a little boy, and you see a huge giant has come, how will you feel? You'll naturally feel afraid. And they will run to Krishna and appeal to Krishna, 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 look. Let's run away. Krishna says, no, don't worry. I'll take care of him. And then they fight. Krishna fights. The demon tries to kill Krishna. Krishna tries to... And that is the fun. And then ultimately Krishna just slaps him. Finished. One slap from Krishna. Demon is dead. Trinavartasura came as a whirlwind. Like, you don't, in India you don't see tornadoes. Trinavarta is actually a tornado. In America you get tornadoes. And you know what happens to a tornado? When the tornado comes? Anything that comes on its course, it just immediately destroyed. To give an example, say a tank, a military tank,
comes on the way of a tornado, what will happen? That tornado will take the tank high up on the sky, just like a toy. And then it will fall on the ground, completely smashed. So Trinavarta came as a tornado and took Krishna up. How old was Krishna at that time? Little baby. And this tornado, Trinavarta, was actually a demon. With his mystic power, he actually created this whirlwind. Created that whirlwind and took Krishna all the way up. And what did Krishna do? And Trinavarta's idea was that he would take Krishna up and then drop him. And this little baby will die. A baby, if he is dropped even from five feet height, the baby generally dies. And he took him up maybe 500 feet. And he was about to drop Krishna. But Krishna, what did he do? Little baby Krishna, he just put his arm around Trinavarta's neck. And he just gave a little squeeze. Trinavarta's throat got choked. Trinavarta couldn't breathe. He started to struggle to breathe. But Krishna's arms, like a vice, just became tighter and tighter and tighter. And as a result of that, Trinavarta demon, who had mystic power, yoga siddhi, such mystic power that with his mystic power he could even turn himself into a tornado, that Trinavarta just died. And he wanted to drop Krishna, but he fell along with Krishna on a huge piece of stone, and his body was smashed. Now, is it unusual? Is it impossible for Lord to act in this way? Is anything impossible for God? No, nothing is impossible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Powerful. He is the Supreme Controller. For Him, there is nothing impossible. So when we hear these activities, we naturally recognize that yes, nothing is unusual for Him. Like for example, one may think that lifting a hill is impossible for someone. Lifting a hill and hold it for 7 days is impossible. It may be impossible for somebody, but a person who can keep the universe's float in the space, can it be impossible for Him? Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhavan Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaura. Can it be impossible for a person who can even float the universe? A person who is holding this earth planet in the space, is it impossible for him to hold a little mountain on top of his head? No. The person who is providing for everyone, is it impossible for him to kill a demon even though he may appear to be like a little baby? No. Therefore, we have to first of all understand that for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible for Him because He made everything possible. It is because of Him that the creation has appeared. It is because of Him that the creation is being maintained. The whole creation is being maintained by Him. So what can be impossible for Him? The person who is in everyone's heart, is it impossible for him to expand himself into 16,000 forms and dance with the gopis of Vrindavan? The person who expanded into himself, into every single atom, is it impossible for him to dance? Is it impossible for him to expand into 16,000 forms and dance with 16,000 girls in Vrindavan? The person who is maintaining himself, maintaining the whole creation, is it impossible for him to marry 16,000 wives and maintain them and have 10 children out of each of them? Huh? No. And in this way, just by hearing the superhuman activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become aware of His unusual activities, unusual abilities, and we develop our attraction for Him. And we naturally become inclined to surrender ourselves unto Him. That yes, if I have to surrender to somebody, let me surrender to Him. Because why do we surrender? We surrender to get shelter. We surrender to get protection. When we are in difficulty, we surrender to somebody. Please help me. Please save me. Please rescue me from this difficulty. Now, at a time like difficulties, at a time of difficulty, isn't it intelligent to surrender to somebody who is the most powerful and who can do all kinds of wonderful things? Therefore, when we surrender, we must surrender to Krishna, not to anyone else. And Krishna means, surrender to Krishna means, surrender to Krishna's devotees. Because Krishna's agents are here. Who are Krishna's agents? Krishna's devotees. Krishna's representatives are Krishna's devotees. So surrendering to Krishna means, we have to surrender to Krishna's devotees. And when we surrender to Krishna's devotees, then Krishna will take care of us. Krishna will say, Krishna is seeing, we may not see Krishna, but Krishna is seeing us. And when He sees that we are surrendering unto His devotees, Krishna will take note of us. He'll say, okay, and now He has surrendered unto me. So when somebody surrenders unto Krishna, then what will Krishna do to him? Krishna will take care of him in all respects. And if the devotee is in danger, Krishna will save him. Krishna will come to his rescue. And here again we get to hear the, get to know the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The way He acted with Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad was a little child. His father, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, wanted to kill him in so many ways, but Krishna came to protect him. Time and time again Krishna protected Prahlad. So from that, what we understand? We understand that if we also surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will protect us in the same way. Prahlad surrendered himself to Krishna and Krishna saved him. So if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will save us. Anyone, when he surrenders to Krishna, Krishna will protect him. So what do we learn? Let us surrender to Krishna. If there is any difficulty, then what should we do? Pray to Krishna. Krishna, please help me. Krishna, please protect me. There is no harm in that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also prayed, Krishna, Krishna, Rakshana. So we should not think, no, we should not ask Krishna for protection. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us how to pray to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Rakshana. Krishna, Krishna, Pahima. Krishna, please protect me. This material nature is very dangerous. And Krishna is protecting us all the time. So it's a matter of just becoming aware how Krishna is protecting us. Sometimes I give an example. I have given this example before. Like, what is the size of the Earth planet? What is the shape of the Earth planet? The Earth planet is, Earth is round. And where are we? Are we inside the Earth or outside the Earth? On the surface of the Earth. So Earth is round, and Earth, we are on the surface of the Earth, and the Earth is moving. Earth is moving with a tremendous speed, about 1,000 kilometers per hour. It's moving so fast, and we are on the surface of the Earth. Now, if there is a round thing, and if something is on the surface of it, and if it moves, then what will happen to that object? It will fall off. Now, why you are not falling off? We are not falling off. We are not falling out, thrown out in the space. Are we? No. Earth is moving, but we are comfortably situated on the surface of the Earth. Why? Because Krishna is holding us. Krishna made the arrangement to hold us in that. There is an energy called Madhyakarshan Shakti, gravitational pull. Akarshan Shakti, attraction. Its actual Shakti is not Madhyakarshan, it is Shankarshan. The Shakti is Shankarshan Shakti. And it's because of that energy, because of that Shakti, that we are held on the surface of the Earth. So when we think that the Earth is moving and we are on the surface of the Earth, if we are properly situated, shouldn't we pray, Krishna, Krishna, Rakshama? Although Krishna is maintaining us, protecting us, saving us, but there is no harm in praying to Krishna, 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 please protect us. We are in such a dangerous situation. Like sometimes when you fly in the plane, don't you think, if something happens, if the engine stops, what will happen? Don't you get into anxiety? I'm sure many of you, I thought many times, like what will happen? What to speak of engine stops? If the window breaks, you know what will happen? If the window that you are sitting next to the plane, if the window breaks, what will happen? The air pressure outside is so much lighter than inside. Like, have you seen paste coming out of the tube? You will come out of the window like that. Just the body will just, because of the pressure, the body will just come out. These thoughts come into mind. Right? And then what do you think? Krishna, Krishna, Rakshama. Similarly, we can think the Earth is moving. And if the Earth stops to move, what will happen? We are fine. Earth is moving and we are situated very nicely on the surface of the Earth. But if the Earth stops for a second, what will happen? We all will be thrown out. The whole creation will be destroyed. The whole planet will be destroyed. If the Earth stops even for a fraction of a second. So this is how dangerous is our situation. This is how dangerous our situation is in this material nature. So what should we do? Krishna, Krishna, Rakshama. Krishna, please give me protection. So in this way, we must surrender unto Krishna. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam. Surrender unto me. And by surrendering unto Krishna, do we lose anything? No. Krishna is real, and if we are intelligent, then we'll understand that Krishna is real
and we will surrender unto Him in all respects.
Only the fool will think that no, there is no God, I am God and I can do anything. I can do anything.
But within time we see, what can we do? At the time of death, we won't be able to lift our hand. At the time of death, we won't be able to breathe. So this is how powerful we are. Everyone will see how powerful He is at the time of death. Or even, not even at the time of death, even before that we see. When you become old, when you become diseased, what happens? You know Cassius Clay? Muhammad Ali, big champion, boxing champion, and he was considered to be the greatest of all time, greatest boxer, heavyweight champion, and he himself used to say also, I am the greatest. And then you know what happened to Muhammad Ali? He got a disease called Parkinson's disease. When you get the Parkinson's disease, then you can't even lift your hand. Your body begins to shake. Now, Muhammad Ali, who was a big heavyweight boxing champion, he can't even lift his hand. And he realized from that, he's an intelligent person. So when somebody asked her, like, at one time he used to think that, you are the greatest. And Muhammad Ali said, even still today I think I am the greatest. But today I realize that I am the greatest fool. So only God is great. Only God is great. No one else is great. No matter how powerful you are, it's only for the time being. Big, as I was saying, big Olympic champion, lifted 300 kilos. But when he is dying in his deathbed, what is his condition? Big heavyweight champion, big weightlifter, big soldier, big general, big, all these big people. At the time of death, they just lie flat on their back, can't even lift their finger. Can't even breathe. Therefore, an intelligent person will just surrender unto Krishna and remain surrendered to Krishna. He will not think that he is the great, he is great. He will realize that he is absolutely insignificant. Only Krishna is great and His activities must be sung, His activities must be enacted, His activities must be glorified, and in this way we must tell everybody about how great Krishna is. You know how great Krishna is? He did this. You know how great Krishna is? Let's make a drama. And what should be the theme of the drama? How great Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna is. How caring Krishna is, how loving Krishna is. And that is how we get to know about the Supreme Personality of God. And who are we? We are just His insignificant servants. But if we surrender unto Him, then our life becomes successful. We don't have to become great. We simply have to make our life successful. And the way to make our life successful is by surrendering unto Krishna, becoming His devotee, singing His glory, serving Him with all our ability. Then our lives will become successful. And doesn't matter who we are. We may be a big person or we may be a small person. We may be an old man or we may be a little baby. We may be a man or a woman. We may be, whoever we may be,
Only when we surrender unto Krishna does our life become successful. Otherwise, our life is simply a waste. Irrespective of what our situation is, how big we may be a millionaire, we may be a big bodybuilder, big heavyweight champion, we may be a world famous movie actor, we may be a big politician, we may be a big general, we may be a big king, but if we don't surrender unto Krishna, then what will happen? Then our life will be totally wasted. We'll surrender. We have to surrender ultimately. But who will we surrender? We'll surrender to death. If we don't surrender to Krishna, then ultimately we have to surrender to death. No matter whoever we are, the death will come and defeat us. And at that time, we'll just lie flat on our back without any ability to even move. Now, what is the intelligent proposal? To surrender to death or to surrender to Krishna? Surrender to Krishna is the intelligent proposal. Why should you surrender to death? Rather, let's defeat death. And how can we defeat death? Death is most powerful. And everybody has to surrender to death. Let's look at the history. Think of any big man. Big politician, Mahatma Gandhi. Where is he? Big general, Alexander the Great, Napoleon Bonaparte. So where are they today? Big rich man, Rockefeller, Henry Ford. Where are they? Where are they? They all have been defeated by death and had to leave this planet. But if we surrender to Krishna, then there is no death. Jad vibheti swayam bhayam. Death himself is afraid of Krishna. When you become a devotee of Krishna, then what happens? We know the incidents of Dhruva Maharaj. When the chariot came from Vaikuntha to take Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj was about to climb onto the chariot, what did he see? He saw death. But how was death? He didn't come to defeat Dhruva Maharaj. He came to Dhruva Maharaj kneeling down with folded hands and said, please bless me before you leave this planet. And what did Dhruva Maharaj do? He put his feet on death's head, climbed onto the chariot. So that is how death treats a devotee. So if we become a devotee of Krishna, then we'll not only conquer death, but we'll achieve the immortal life, eternal life in the spiritual. Eternal life, no more death. Jagatvana nivartante stadhama paramam. When one goes to the spiritual sky, he doesn't have to come back to this material nature again. He won't have to come to the cycle of birth and death again. He will become eternally situated at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada came to distribute to everyone. And let us take full advantage of this wonderful gift of Srila Prabhupada. There was a time when we are in ignorance. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. We are born in the deepest darkness of ignorance. But Jnananjana Shalakaya. By the torchlight of knowledge, by the mascara of anointing our eyes with the transcendental knowledge, he opened our darkened eyes. Chakshurun militam. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada has benefited us And if we are intelligent, we'll take advantage of that benefit and make our life successful. When you become a devotee, our life becomes successful in all respects. And not only it becomes successful, it becomes joyful, it becomes free from anxiety. The first thing that happens when you become a devotee, what happens? First thing is free from anxiety. We just, all anxieties disappear. When you become a devotee, do we have any more anxiety? No. And it brings happiness. In one hand, the anxiety disappears and happiness comes. So, everyone is struggling. Everyone is making so much endeavor to become free from anxiety and become happy. But when you become a devotee of Krishna, immediately we achieve that position. No more anxiety. Kleshagni Shubhada. Kleshagni. Klesha, distresses, difficulties, anxieties are immediately removed, dispelled. And Shubhada brings all auspiciousness. Our life becomes full of auspiciousness, full of joy. And this is also Sudurlabha, very rare. Krishna consciousness is very, very rare. Sudurlabha. And it is so rare that it's moksha lagutakrit. It makes liberation totally insignificant. And Chandrananda Visheshatma, it gives all transcendental joy. Our life becomes full of joy. And Krishna, and then ultimately what happens? Krishna Karshanicha. It attracts Krishna. If we surrender unto Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna, then what will be the ultimate gain? Krishna will become attracted. Krishna will become our property. Krishna, who is the supreme controller and the supreme proprietor, he will become our property. That is how wonderful devotional service is. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? What is happening to the light? No, but there's a... what happened to the battery inverter? Okay, go ahead.
You were mentioning how a devotee can ask for protection from the Lord. So, particularly as devotees, what we can ask for protection is to protect our faith and our submission. So, my question is it that to the degree we request Krishna or to the degree we beg Krishna for protection of our faith and submission, to that degree he gives protection?
The question is, asking for protection from Krishna, should we ask for protection of faith, protection of our devotion? This asking for protection will depend on where our consciousness is, where our attachment is. If someone is attached to his body, he can pray to Krishna, Krishna, please protect my body. If someone is attached to his children, Krishna, he can pray to Krishna, Krishna, please protect our children. If someone is attached to his name and fame, he can pray to Krishna, Krishna, please protect my name and fame. If someone is attached to his house, he can pray to Krishna, Krishna, please protect my house. There is no harm in asking Krishna for protection. Wherever your attachment is, pray to Krishna for protection. And it is, of course, at the most advanced stage that one will simply desire for the protection of his faith and devotion to Krishna. That's the most advanced stage. There is no need to artificially imitate. If you are attached to your body, ask for the protection of the body. No harm in that. Why should you be a hypocrite? When you are attached to the body and pretend that I am a pure devotee. Krishna, protect my faith. But that, if that is just verbal, then what's the use of it? My heart is attached to the body and my tongue is saying, protect my faith. What's the use of that? Rather be natural. Krishna, I am attached to my body. Krishna, please protect my body. Krishna, I am attracted to food. Krishna, please give me some nice food. No harm. And Krishna will give. Isn't Krishna giving? He's giving us everything. It's a matter of recognizing what Krishna is giving us. When we are attached to nice food, Krishna is giving us nice food. It's only a matter of recognizing, oh Krishna, you give me so much nice food. Thank you very much. And Krishna will be happy. Oh, after all, he is recognizing. He is surrendering man to me. Krishna is happy if we surrender. Because we already have a relationship with Krishna. It is not that we have to create a relationship with Krishna. The relationship is already there. And relationship means love. Relationship is already there, love is already there. Krishna already loves us. So whatever, and whenever we show a little reciprocation of his love, Krishna will be happy. Like the father loves the child. That love is unconditional. Isn't it? The father doesn't say, tell the child, if you love me, then only I love you. Does the father say that? No. The father says, I love you no matter whatever you do. But that little child buys some candy, gets some candy and gives it to the father. Father, please take this. How will the father feel? Candy he got from the father himself. But he is offering that candy is back to the father. Father, please take it. How will the father feel? He'll pick up the child on his lap and embrace him with all the love of his heart. So that is the case with us. Krishna already loves us. It is up to us now to make some reciprocation. Krishna, let me also love you. You already love me. The relationship is already there. You already love me. Even though I do not love you, but still you are loving me. So now let me love you. And when we start to love Krishna, then we see how the love develops. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We are very happy to welcome Murari Das from Switzerland. Hare Krishna. Murari is a very wonderful devotee. Murari had been connected to ISKCON for many years. And not only him, Murari. Yeah, give the garland. When Murari, when he was a young boy, he came across Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And when he became so attracted to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, he brought all his friends also to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in ISKCON. And then they moved in to one house. They were living together and they made their house into a center. That was year Murari? 86?
Huh?
86 about. Around 86, 87, yeah. And so today, many of those they all became devotees. Practically all of them became initiated. How many of you know Balaram? Balaram used to be my secretary.
Yes.
So Balaram is from that group. Jasodanandan, Govinda, Subhadra, then Gorsundar. So they are all became devotees because of Murari's preaching to them. So we are very happy to welcome Murari to this wonderful city of Ujjain, which is the place of Krishna's pastimes in his Sandipani ashram, along with Balaram. Murari came to India. He was supposed to go to Sri Lanka yesterday, but when I got to know that he was here, he was actually trying to contact me, but he could not. Somehow my phone line was not working. But finally, I tracked him down. I got to know, day before yesterday, I got to know that Murari was in India. He was in Jaipur. I was also in Jaipur. When I was in Jaipur, Murari was in Jaipur. But I didn't meet him. So then I told Murari that he should come to Ujjain. So he cancelled his trip to Sri Lanka and he came here. And he could not, from Jaipur, it's difficult actually to come because there is no direct flight from Jaipur. So Murari, when he didn't get the train reservation, he took a bus through the night. How was the ride, Murari? It was okay? Did you get any sleep at night?
Sorry?
Did you get any sleep at night? In the bus?
Yes.
You could sleep?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, you must be tired. So we are very happy to have you here. So, Murari also helped me in many ways. Actually, when I became a GBC of Europe, I had a big responsibility of saving New Mayapur. So New Mayapur was in a big debt and we are about to lose New Mayapur. At that time, Murari gave me a very big financial support which helped me to save New Mayapur. And Murari had been taking care of me in many ways for many years. Gaur Premanande, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan ki, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai ki,
Padit Mahat Sivru Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you.